Matthew chapter 1, and we're going to read from verse 18 through verse 25. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When, as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all of this was done, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. Let's begin with prayer. Father, we thank you that we have an opportunity to come together, to be as a family, to be united with in one spirit, and that's your Holy Spirit. And we come to hear your word. We come to listen so clearly, not to miss one thing, one point. Sometimes, Father, folks come and they're not even saved. They've never trusted in you as their Savior. Please, today, when we look at this beautiful, sweet story, think back 2,000 years when it took place. Please, dear Lord, that those that have come that do not know you as their Savior, that they are saved today. They confess you today. They trust in you today. And please, just guide and lead us and touch our hearts through a message that we've read many, many times, and probably most of us could almost quote it. Let it still touch our hearts, because every time we open your word, it's new. It applies to us today. So please speak to our hearts now, and I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. That 18th verse begins, now the birth of Jesus was on this wise. The birth of Jesus is on this wise. You know, to make an announcement of a coming child. As a young parent, I still remember. You waited. You wanted to tell. Usually parents first, sometimes very close friends. You waited for that right time to share and to say and to tell that we're going to have a baby. We're going to have a baby. I've watched my children as the grandchildren come. It's the same way. They wait, and then just the right time, then they share it with family and friends. The birth of that child. To make an announcement about a coming birth of a child, we understand. But how about the announcement about the coming birth of a king? You know, we hope that our children and our grandchildren grow up to be very useful, very productive citizens. We hope that they grow up and are all Christians, that they're born again, that they know Jesus as their Savior. And some will be, you know, have very important roles in the world. Others, you know, have maybe not so important, and yet every one of them will touch each other's lives and as they walk through this life. There's not a one of us that do not touch somebody's life. sometimes to the negative, sometimes to the positive, and hopefully always, mostly to the positive. But this child that was to be born is to be king. Is to be king. Born to be king. But there's a greater announcement to come than the king is coming. And that is that the Savior is coming. The Savior is coming. He is coming to save the world. Many a politician today will run for office. Maybe it's something that you'll run for the city council or county board or something on the state level or federal level. And you run for that office in hopes that you can make a difference, that you can change something, that you can right a wrong. And we'd like to think that most people that run for political office at one level or another are there not for their own gain, but for the good of all. And they believe that they're made of something that they can make a difference. But how about when one is born to save the world? To save the world. The king is born, yes. But he will come and take his proper place at a later time. Now he's coming to save the world. When did it come to your mind and to your thinking that this world is lost and is dying and is failing and is a miserable place? Maybe you haven't come to that point yet. You still think this is a pretty good place. Well, there's a couple things that you don't do if you believe that. You watch no news. You can't have any news on because everything is awful between fires and murders and so many things that are going on. The corruptness that is going on from every level. For you to say that this world is getting better and this land is improving, I'm not sure what newscast you listen to, but none that I listen to give such a report. And yet the world and the human philosophy says it's getting better. It's improving. It's not. This world needs a Savior. This world needs to be saved. And some 2,000 years ago, God sent His Son to do just that work, to save a world that's lost. Lost. A world that has desperately failed in every way, in every direction. This world has failed. And He's come to save us. So you see, for a child to be born is a great and wonderful day. For a king to be born is a great day. But the greatest day is when the Savior was born. The only one that had the power and the strength and the ability to save the world. To save it. The world spends all its time deciding it doesn't need to be saved. But if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, you know better. You know that this world needs to be saved. You know that individuals, the people of this world, need salvation. They need to be saved. And God sent His Son to do that. And the Scripture tells us it happened in this wise. God's Word tells us how it took place. This is what happened 2,000 years ago when the Savior of the world, the one that came to save the world, was born. And we have that here in the 19th verse, in the 18th verse. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise, when as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they had came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. This is how it happened. This is how Jesus was born. That's how God brought his Son to earth, in this wise. The Holy Spirit wrought. The Holy Spirit formed with care is what that means. In the womb of this chosen virgin, this young woman named Mary. Some portray her as being perfect. She wasn't. But she was a useful vessel. She was a vessel God could use to bring his Son, to bring a physical body upon God the Son, the body of our Lord Jesus Christ, to be the Savior, to save the world. There's never been a man born that could do such a thing, because they are born of a man. This Son, the Son of God, is born from the Virgin Mary, fathered by the Holy Spirit. How did God do it? It's done on this wise. You see, this man must be sinless, so he could not be born or fathered from man, only from the woman, not from the seed of man. And by this wise, Jesus was born a human, yet perfect. The Holy Spirit has prepared the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. I want you to see, and I would like for you to go back with me to Hebrews chapter 9. There was a work that needed to be done. And the Son of God come to do that work, and that is to save the world. And as we look now at Hebrews, chapter 9, we have several verses of Scripture here that I'm going to read. Hebrews chapter 9, beginning to read with verse 19, and it's concerning what Moses did and some of the things that took place during his day with the tabernacle and the law and all those things. It was all a picture of what was to come. And so you see, as we look back into or look into Hebrews here, we're actually looking back into the days of the books of Moses, of Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, and as they performed this, and then it was carried on all the way to the birth of Jesus, which was for many years, some 1,500 years. Now, let's look at Hebrews chapter 9, verse 19. For when Moses had spoken every precept to all the people according to the law, he took the blood of calves and of goats with water and scarlet wool and hyssop and sprinkled both the book and all the people, saying, "This is the blood of the New Testament which God hath enjoined unto you. Moreover, he sprinkled with blood both the tabernacle and all the vessels of the ministry. And almost all things are by the law purged with blood, and without the shedding of blood is no remission. It was therefore necessary that the patterns of things in the heavens should be purified with these, but the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than these. For Christ is not entered into the holy places made with hands, which are the figures of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. Nor yet that he should offer himself often, as the high priest entered into the holy place every year with the blood of others. For then must he often have suffered since the foundation of the world. But now, once in the end of the world, hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. And as it is appointed unto man once to die, but after this the judgment. So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. For the law, having a shadow of good things to come, and not the very image of the things, can never with those sacrifices which they offered year by year continually make the comers thereunto perfect. You see, God put into works, into the plans with Moses. And when those works were put into place, it was to be just a beautiful picture of what was to come. And so many, many years later, finally, out of the promises of the Word of God, that promise was fulfilled. And Jesus was born on this wise. All the pictures of all these offerings and sacrifices. So you see, for God to come to earth, for God to maintain his perfectness, he had to do that so he could save us. Because you see, we're lost, we're dying, and we need a Savior. And we're more than dying, we're dead in our trespasses and sins, as the Scripture tells us. But I wanted to jump forward just a little bit into Hebrews there so you could see why that Jesus had to come. He had to come to fulfill the law. He had to come to seek and to save those that are lost. And he did that through his own death and resurrection 3 days later. As we look now back into Matthew, and we see she was with child of the Holy Ghost. Joseph had a problem with this. Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make a public example, was minded to put her away privately. This word spouse means to be engaged. Engagement at this time is a little bit different than today. I'm sorry to say today it's not quite as serious, but at this time it was equal to marriage. They were the same as married. And it saddened Joseph to find that his wife was with child. He thought he knew Mary. He couldn't understand how this could be. And so, again, it says something about Joseph's character here. We know that Mary was a vessel that God could use. Well, so was Joseph. Because Joseph was a just man, not willing to make a public example. Yes, he was sad. Yes, he was confused. Yes, he was disappointed. But a just man means that Joseph was not a hot-tempered man. He was not fast to react. He was not fast to speak. And you know, words that we speak can never be taken back. Things that we say can never be retracted. I don't care how many times you say you're sorry. It doesn't matter. Those words still went into that other person's ear and they were heard. And if it was something that hurt them, that hurt will be there for all of their life. And they can say they have forgiven you, but it's still there. God has chosen Mary and chosen Joseph. And Joseph wasn't a man that said something out of hand or out of turn. James chapter 1, verse 19, "Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath." That should be the life of a believer. That when we act on something, it's not a reaction because we're angry, but we're able to hold our temper, hold our tongue, look at the circumstances. Joseph could have said something here if he would have jumped to a conclusion too quickly, and he would have been very sorry and sad for what he had done or what he had said. But you see, he didn't, because he was a good man. He was a godly man. God's the only one that can give you that kind of a spirit, that quiet, sweet, meek spirit. And so you see, he immediately was not willing. He had such a great love for Mary, you know. He loved her. He cared for her. And even though he didn't understand, he didn't want to bring any shame or any harm to her. He knew that she needed to be put away, and he was going to do that. But he was going to do it as quietly and as tenderly and as caring as he could, not to bring any attention to her. While he thought on these things, you see what happens when we take time? You see what happens when we don't lose our temper? There's a period of time there, and if we ponder on those things, if we think on those things, if we put those things to prayer and give God time to show us what's going on. You know, we're so quick to look at a situation and look at the circumstances that many times we do things or say things that we would have never said or done if we had just waited. See, God picked a fine young lady. Perfect? No, she wasn't. But she was a godly young lady. And he also picked a fine young man in Joseph. Because, you see, he waited. And in that waiting, while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. While he thought on these things, while he pondered on those, the angel, God sent a messenger down to explain it all to Joseph, to explain everything. And he used quite a name here. He says, Joseph, thou son of David. Now see, we know the promises. Joseph, I believe, was a godly man. I think he knew the word of God. And when he found the connection with the son of Joseph, son of David, son of Joseph, Joseph the son of David, and also he knew Mary's family. See, Mary is also of the son, the daughter of David. Her line is through David. Both are through David. And if he knew his word, and the angel had come to him, what did that mean? How important is it that we know the word of God? You see, we know the word of God, nothing surprises us. Some things may confuse us a little bit. Some things may trouble us just a little bit. But they'll never surprise us because we know. Did Joseph make that connection? When this angel said to him, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. Verse 21, and she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, and he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is being interpreted God with us. Did Joseph remember that? Did that verse of Scripture back in Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14, did that come to him when the angel said, your wife Mary is with child by the Holy Spirit? Did he remember that verse of Scripture? Did he remember the Word of God? Was he taught the Word of God? You see, if he'd have known that Word, and it doesn't say that he remembered it, it doesn't make any direction that it came back to his mind. You know, many times through the Scripture why it says that, you know. You know, when Peter denied the Lord three times, you know, why when that cock crowed, why he said, then he remembered the words of the Lord. Here it doesn't say whether Joseph really remembered, whether that came back to mind or not. But you see, he was a godly man. He was doing the godly thing. And when we walk close to the Lord speaks to us, directs us, doesn't want us to walk blindly. From the time that this was brought to his attention, almost immediately come this angel to let him know what was going on. And he didn't just say it and leave. He backed it with God's word. He says, you know what the word of God says. And it says, behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from the sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife. It's almost impossible for one to believe that Mary had never been with a man, so how could she be with a child? How could the Holy Spirit father a child? How can we understand that? Joseph was expected to believe it. But you see, he had the Word of God. We have the Word of God, so we are expected to believe it. Is it so difficult to believe that that could take place? If it's difficult for you to believe that, then I don't believe that you know Jesus as your Savior. Because you see, God says in His Word, you must be born again. Born of the Spirit. How can we be born of the Spirit? How can that be? How can we get a new heart and be made new? We know it's true because the Word of God tells us so. So for Joseph to understand this wonderful news, that his wife-to-be is with child by the Holy Ghost, Joseph believed. How did he believe? He believed by faith, because he remembered the Word of God. Word of God says, whosoever confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised from the dead shall be saved. It's what the Word of God says. That's what the Word of God tells us. There was the promise of a Savior back in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. The promise was made right there with Adam and Eve. And that promise was repeated, and pictures of it was developed all through the Old Testament until the perfect picture arrived. And that was the Son of God is born. I hope you don't question the virgin birth. The Word of God says it was done in this wise. That's how He did it. That's how He did it. And those that were involved in it, God gave a special note to. Sent a special messenger down. And during Joseph's sleep, the angel explained it all to him. Then backed it with the most powerful message that he could, God's Word. And that should be our life. I hope you don't question the new birth. How can that be? The world has forgotten of the new birth. The world is religious, and they come to church, and they sing, and they go home, and no message is made, no words are spoken that you need to be born again. But upon this day, the Scripture tells us, on this wise is how it took place. Well, we can say the same thing about our salvation. How were you saved? I was saved this wise. That's how I was saved. Because I listened to the Word of God. Mary was chosen. Joseph was chosen. You and I are chosen vessels. Chosen for God's service. Mary was, Joseph was, and everyone here that's born again is a chosen vessel. So let's be messengers of the Word of God. And if someone asks you how you were born again, well, it's on this wise you can tell them. And tell them how you were saved. What a glorious message. This is just the start of it, and we'll go through all the verses of Scripture next week. And so please, don't miss it. Come and be a part of it. Let's close in prayer. Father, it's a wonderful day that we can come. We come into this building that you've given us, a building that's solid and safe, and even with the high winds, we can just barely hear them. You've given us this building. You've given us this family. And dear Father, most of all, you've given us your Son. Because without your Son and without his saving power, there would be no need for this building, there would be no family. Because it's all built upon you. A work, Father, that you put into place. And you sent the messenger down to tell Joseph, here's how it happened. Joseph believed. Please, that we believe today without question the virgin birth. And please, today, we believe that salvation is a gift that is given upon calling upon you, dear Lord, realizing that we're a sinner and just calling on you. Please save me. I'm lost. I'm dead. Save me. Please, dear Lord, those that are here that do not know you, that they come today. And for us that do, what a wonderful promise. And once again, we go to your word and we know that we can stand upon your word. Your word has never failed and it never will. So just as sure as we are that you were born of the Virgin Mary, it's as sure as we are that you saved us and are keeping us, we can be just as sure, dear Lord, that you're coming again to get us. And what a glorious day that will be. Now please speak to all of our hearts. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.